When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
This is far less professional. Because my day started with the biggest faux pas that I could have.
Sports Talk Saturday.
But I see in the break room, there's some donuts there. Okay, sweet. Yo, all right. And I completely forgot about the very segment that we did here about not trusting the 5 bags of unmarked tortilla chips.
Yeah.
What did my stupid butt do? I grabbed one.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home? Hey, think with fly thing.
You're gonna have nightmares about that.
I hope
it's the fact
that
I can hear it across the room with headphones on, and the mics weren't even on, so I couldn't hear you through the headphones.
On WGR.
Welcome to the flaming wagon known as Sports Talk Saturday.
Sports Radio 550.
Bite into the stale donut.
Yes. Yeah. Embrace the crunch of the stale donut. That's what you need to do.
Welcome in Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley here with you for 2 hours today.
Yes.
Because we have programming note, Niagara men's basketball starting at 1 o'clock here. We'll talk to Todd Kalinin toward the end of the show so that we can give him an opportunity to get some pregame in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it butts right up to.
Because we're walking them right up to it.
Yeah.
So we're going to give him a chance to get some pregame in here at the end of this show heading toward the 1 o'clock hour. But until then, I've got great news for everyone.
It's the flaming wagon?
Well, that too. I mean, you might need it. It's kind of cold outside.
I know I did. Snowbrush broke.
Your snowbrush broke?
Yeah, that was a tough moment.
That is a tough moment.
Especially in the north where it's snowing quite bad and a lot had piled up.
Just make sure to say the word today.
Today.
Because normally that is not
the
statement.
Yeah, today.
The north towns are actually getting a little bit of the snow. We're seeing it outside our studios right now as well.
Yeah, it made its way here.
But typically it's the south towns that get this. But yeah, if you've ever broken a snow brush, there is nothing more demoralizing. Especially if you haven't scraped off everything yet.
I hadn't even. I was literally trying to scrape the ice off the windshield. I got one push.
That thing was destined to break anyway.
So then I sat in my car for 20 minutes while it heated up. Just enough for me to go out there with my hands and start moving the snow.
Which is why I've taken this pro strat a long, long time ago. Got to have a little backup in there.
Yeah, I see.
Like the ones that are like the size of like a pop bottle.
Yes,
like
I know
the
what you're
ones
talking
that
about.
Are like maybe like half the length of your forearm. Like
yes.
The little baby scraper is the in case of emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Like how you watch any like. If you watch any like fantasy movie or anything like that of like
there's always
know,
the
like
dagger.
Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
There's always the dagger. You know? Lord of the Rings. Aragorn's got that big sword, but then he's got the little dagger. That's what that second snow brush is, or that scraper is that little dagger.
It's the secondary weapon.
It's the dagger. It's the in case of emergency, the little guy. So you need to always get a little guy for your snow brush for your car.
Mm-hmm. See, since I got my new car, I hadn't replenished my snow brushes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened.
Yep.
So, you know, got to be better. It's on me. I wish that accountability was the same for one of our professional sports teams in the city, but it's not. So,
you just got to go back to the film.
Mm-hmm.
Correct it.
Yep. It's on me.
Learn from there.
Not a complimentary game at all. Oh, we hear one team say that, but not the other. You're right. Sorry. I got to stop.
You know what? Let's get that out of the way real quick.
Yeah.
And this is all I'm going to say about them today. The Buffalo Sabres play tonight against Boston. And
If you can't bear to watch, I don't blame you for doing that. If you need to have it on as background noise, just tune us in at 7 o'clock, and that'll be it. That's it. I'm done with the Sabres today. We're done. All right. Anyway, now back to more fun things.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, 803-0550 is the number to call because we have no guests up until the very end of the show today. So it's all you guys hanging out with us this afternoon. So I have a... Like, last week, we were so upset about the hockey team.
Yeah, we didn't.
That we didn't do an opening band.
No, we dove right in.
We dove right in because we felt we needed to.
Yeah, to the pits.
And even 2 weeks ago, you weren't here. I had 1 hour, and that was the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to get back to that. Get back to the good-spirited nature of the Flaming Wagon known as Sports Talk Saturday.
Yes. Keep the negativity out.
And so what did I end up with here today? I was like, I have a good one here. This is the last one before... The holidays.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, what's your strategy with Christmas shopping? Are you...
Oh, it's already done.
See? Now, now here's something that is painful to admit.
Yeah.
I haven't started yet.
Yeah, that's wild. I would be having like crippling panic attacks if I had not started yet.
I have not started yet. My list is also very short.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't started yet.
Right.
And I am notorious in my family for not starting early.
Oh, so it's known.
Yes.
It's not. Yeah, okay. That's fine.
But I still make sure to get things that people want.
Mm-hmm.
But they know not to ask about specifics with me. Like, I can only find this on, like, Amazon, or I have to go online for this. Like, no.
Right.
I'm going to go somewhere, and it's still going to be a thoughtful gift. It's just going, like, I'm going to have to, and this is my fault, I'm going to walk into a store and it's going to be packed, and then wait 40 minutes in the checkout line.
Yep.
But that's my fault. I did this to me.
I did that 1 year.
And I'm gonna, the worst part about it is I'm going to walk toward the back of that line, and I'm going to be like, oh my God, there's so many people, and then I'm going to have to turn around and go, no, me, be mad at me, my fault, not anyone else's fault, my fault.
Yep.
And so I'm going to...
It's like when the camera pans out 800 times at how long the line is.
Past Derek is the worst person in the world. I hate him. Past Derek stinks. Future Derek always gets the problems. Past Derek is the worst.
Mm-hmm. It's a revolving cycle as well.
Because I let it happen. So then I'm going to, in a couple days, I'm going to be like, why did I do this? And like, it's my fault. It's my fault.
Yeah. Yeah, I did that the first year the Bills clinched the AFC East, and I was getting white elephant gifts. I made like a basket almost, right, with Bills gear because the sporting goods stores had all of the gear for the first year they won the AFC East championship, right? Maybe an hour I was standing in line. It was terrible because everybody was getting like the same thing. Everyone was getting their Bills stuff, right?
Yep.
I ended up getting COVID. So I know exactly where I got it from. So I did it to myself. Yep. So it's
that stinks.
I knew I had it too. Tasted cocktail sauce. Actually, it was the lack of taste of the cocktail sauce that really pointed me in the direction of where I was. So, you know.
So
they did deter the shrimp though.
The problem with having friends that listen to your show
mm-hmm.
is that they will text you.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'm going to use this as a cheap way to say it's time to get connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. John, text in.
Mm-hmm.
Past Derek has had some moments. He's not wrong.
I wouldn't doubt it.
That's the problem with friends is that they know.
They know everything.
They bleeping know. So, John, yeah. Yeah. Past Derek is amongst the worst of people.
Is he?
Yes. I hate Past Derek. Anytime you listen to me, the worst. Every version of you is the worst.
Yeah, the whiner line, which I still have never experienced.
No, you don't need to. It's okay. I was like, I need to get my Christmas shopping done, and I haven't started yet.
Are you going today?
Probably.
After the show, since we get out an hour earlier?
Yeah, maybe, probably. I have to do my job later tonight, which is, you know, watch the hockey team, but...
It's going to be background, for sure. I'll glance up if I hear something excitable happen. But...
Someone has to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Someone has to watch them in order for this show to stay afloat.
Yeah.
So, like Brian and Paul, they you know the meme of the soldier that stands in front of the bed and like protects the child sleeping, and then the grenades and the bombs are coming in the background.
Yes,
that's Brian and Paul with the sabers. They carry your postgame, your pregame, and Pat, like all of them. They are the ones having to endure the most of it, and I always got to tip my cap to those guys. So we almost had them. We almost had them this time, Brian. Boston was out of a playoff spot, and the Sabres were in one. It's a shame. But yeah, I was like, you know what? Let's see the.
See what we're doing today.
See what we're doing today with the Christmas shopping thing. And I'm like, I got to ask Joe about this because that is.
Yeah. Well, this year I got it done very early.
Yeah.
Like I normally would do it this past week, right? Like that's kind of where I'm at. But I did it literally December like 6th. I did everything.
But I also think that the lines aren't going to be as long these days because like, you know how like online shopping.
I did all my shopping mostly online.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So like. Yeah, there's going to be scramblers like me, but like, there's not going to be as many.
Right.
Because of a different day and age.
You're not wrong.
I'm hoping I'm not wrong.
No, I don't think you are.
I might be wrong. I might still be standing in line for 40 minutes. But that's my fault.
It happens.
Absolutely my fault.
Happens to the best of us.
Derek stinks. That's the motto here. But yeah, I was like... That's a fun little topic we should go into there.
Yeah, I think that's a polarizing topic amongst many because I feel like some people are all about like, hey, Black Friday is when I do all my Christmas shopping. And then some people are like, you know what? Christmas Eve, I'm still out there. I'm still doing the work.
Yes, we're still putting in the work.
Yeah.
Always put in the work. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing. Yeah. Always put in the work. Speaking of putting in the work, Bills, if you want to talk Sabres, I'll deal with it coming from callers today, but I'm not going to bring them up. Like, that's the thing. Until they do something significant, I'm not bringing them up today. And quite honestly, for your health standpoint, neither should you. You can listen to the Steve Foley Law pregame show starting at 6 here on WGR. And they'll take on the Bruins at 7. Hmm. But yeah, it's pretty much the docket here when it comes to me and the Sabres. It's going to be brought up by callers, and that's it. And speaking of which, we will go to the phones. We'll go to Charlie in Lancaster. How you doing? Welcome to Sports Talk Saturday.
Hey, you know, I'm doing terrible. It is a terrible day. I appreciate asking, though.
Hey, you know, I'm sorry that it is terrible. Hopefully we can make it better for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a couple ways to make it better. One, we fire Kevin Adams, or Terry fires Kevin Adams. Two other things. I wanted to get your guys' thoughts. Do you think there's enough Sabres fans in the world, not just the U.S., you know, everybody, $1, $5, $10, pool it together, go to the NHL, say, hey, we got a case. We can buy this team. We can buy the team. So you know, that's one option. The other is, oh, look at this. I just got some breaking news. The Sabres have done nothing. Fire everyone now.
Charlie, I appreciate the call. I wish I could help change any of this. But the problem is that they have a history right now that they're not going to do anything. And the worst part of it is, what comes next? A third rebuild?
Right.
Because that's what comes next.
Last week, I put something out on Twitter, rebuild yet? And then I got tank gifs in the comments.
But that's the problem, is what is staring you in the face? Another rebuild. That is what's staring you in the face. And I don't think that's something that they want to do right now.
No.
And again, I cannot. This season is the one that's defying the logic more than anything in a drought that has defied logic. But until they change something, and I mean literally something, anything, nothing is going to, like everything, it's just going to stay the same.
Yeah, it is. It's so frustrating.
And it's tough to talk about them when everything is still the same. Everything is miserable. And that's pretty much what it is. I guess we're doing this today.
Yeah.
I was trying to avoid them.
Yeah.
I was going to try to make a statement and say I'm avoiding the Sabres because they are not worth talking about right now because they show nothing and they do nothing to change it. But if you guys need to talk about them, you guys and gals need to talk about them,
we're
here. We got to do it. We got to do it. And that's part of the job.
Yeah.
And that's what we're here for. For someone like Ray and Clarence. Ray, how are you doing today?
Hi, guys. You know, I'm a supporter of what Kevin Adams did, locking up players. I love these players. I mean, I'm starting to change my mind a little bit. I mean, everything is pointing to one common thread. As much as I love Terry Pegula, but he's the only one that's been around for 13 years. And, you know, I feel like even if he wanted to sell, like maybe there's too much on his plate with the health of his wife, we're stuck, because why would the Eastern Conference owners even approve of a sale when we're one less team they have to worry about? You know, I say that tongue in cheek, but why would they want him even to sell? We're a pass by team, but here's what I really want. And I don't know, we haven't tried this, and we almost tried, but with Pat LaFontaine, I'd like a president of operations, maybe a little bit of an abrasive guy, but somebody that you can work with that makes it a little uneasy, somebody not associated ever with this organization, as another set of eyes. I agree with the things that Adams has done. I'm not going to kick him. It's easy to always look back. But as he's been going along, I just wish maybe a couple more big trades. But if people don't want to come here, I agree with the statement about no palm trees and taxes. It's obvious. That's why Florida has a good way of marketing themselves. But I think one extra set of eyes, another layer, would be good. You can't say it's Lindy Ruff. I mean, my gosh. You know, you can't say it's I don't know, Tate Thompson. I mean, we love these guys. It's just, what's the common thread and what's one other thing that we have not done? And I think that's it. So thank you,
Ray. I appreciate the call. And you are right. If there is one thing that I would like to see changed up within the management, is a president of hockey operations to kind of help have that final say, and overrule the GM and even help the owner through what is going on with the team. A president of hockey ops would be something that I would want to see with this group. I would like to see with this team, and especially someone from outside the organization that does not have affiliation. That is something that I think is key, and it is important, because within hockey nowadays, it does seem like there's a lot of nostalgia that comes in with it now. Like, it's always a lot of former players from the team that either they had a cup of coffee or something else on the line. It just, that's the one thing that I could see that would actually be a refreshing change that could be beneficial to this team right now. When it comes to, like, I can't say the fire everyone, trade everyone thing, because what is waiting for you on the other side? It's another rebuild.
Right.
And then you're, especially with a hockey rebuild, if you revamp the entire core and try to choose a new core to go forward with, you are staring at another 4 years minimum without the playoffs.
It's not great. Not great, Bob.
Because you know what's also happening right now in the NHL? The teams that you were standing next to in this misery for the last couple of years, the Red Wings and the Senators, Ottawa has figured it out.
That they have.
They're 2 points out of third place in the Atlantic. They are winning hockey games at a pretty good clip right now. They've won 5 in a row. They have a better goal differential than the Bruins do, actually, by a lot. They look like they've kind of figured it out now. They have that core. They have Brady Tkachuk. They have Tim Stützle. They have these guys. They trade for Chychrun. Like, the thing is, they've made moves. They traded for DeBrincat. It didn't work, but they did it. Like, they trade for Chychrun. They traded for these guys. And you want to go ahead and tell me that the Ottawa Senators was a destination? No.
No.
You find guys that don't have the no-move clauses, and you go and get them.
You build something.
You try to build something. You show, like, not, I don't want to say show the effort, but like.
No, because like you said, they have signed guys.
But make a statement.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You need to make a statement.
You need to bring someone here that's going to, change the tide.
And once again, inaction is going to cause people to misconstrue your message. You want to say that it's patience. People will see that and call that just not caring. And it's not the right message.
No.
But it's what's going to be perceived.
Especially when the fans have been patient for 13 years to try and figure this out. Like, it's time.
And the weirdest thing about this is that they were sitting 2 points from first place in the Atlantic Division before a 12-game losing streak. They have now lost more games in this stretch than they have won all season.
Mm-hmm.
And it is disgusting.
It's bad.
How? How do you do this? We'll keep going here. Bruce in North Tonawanda, how you doing? Welcome to Sports Talk Saturday.
Hey, boys. How's it going?
Oh, it's snowing like a little crazier now, and we're talking about the Sabres. So
as good as it could be?
I'll let your imagination run with that answer.
I'm gonna continue the gloom and doom, unfortunately. but look, this core has been in the league for how many years now? Under how many different coaches? Under how many different systems? And if you're a hockey person, you can sit down and watch a game and dissect it pretty easily. These guys have a lot of bad habits, all of them. They're talented, but they're blemished. And their focus is not probably what it should be because of the constant turmoil, the constant turnover, the constant different types of systems. Look at what happened to Casey Mittelstadt. He went to Colorado, and he was playing pretty good. What happened? He's vanished. So that's just one short-term example of what I see on the ice. But Kevin Adams, he's put himself in a corner, and I don't know how he gets himself out of this. And I don't know how the Sabres themselves get themselves out of this because the core, they just simply have bad habits. Look at the pucks they cough up. Look at all yep. how sloppy they play and how focused they are not. And I guess that's my point. I don't have an answer for it. The only answer I have is sell the darn team and let's start over because this certainly isn't – they're going to lose again tonight. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm not even going to watch the game, and I've been a proud Sabres guy since day one, and they've lost me and many others like myself. With that, gentlemen, try to enjoy your Saturday.
Hey, Bruce, you too. I appreciate the call, man, and happy holidays to everyone as well.
I mean, he's trying to diagnose it, though. The coach, Lindy Ruff, doesn't even know what's going on.
Ready?
That's the thing.
I can diagnose some of the things about what the development streak is going on with here.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the coaching staff was the same.
Yeah.
Most of the coaching staff is the same.
From the Granato regime.
From Granato to Ruff.
Mm-hmm.
Only two names changed. And Ruff was one of them.
Do you think that could be... You think him not having his
That's
own
staff...
That's
where the developmental issues could be coming from.
Disconnect coming from.
Should be coming from. It's because there's guys there on that staff where there is a same message going on there. That's why the power play looks like... Term redacted here.
Mm-hmm. Looks worse than it did with Jeff Skinner on it.
That's
which is like, crazy to even say.
That's why the defense is still very leaky at times. Like,
yeah.
My best answer on how to fix this team is to get a time machine and go to the trade deadline in 2023. Wait, that's it? That's all you're going back to? Yes, that's all I'm going back to. Because you make a dang move there.
Mm-hmm.
You were 1 point out of the playoffs. You had a young core that looked like they were blossoming.
Make a move for a vet with experience.
Make a move for a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
And then each of the following off seasons, there was no move to add to the core.
No, the off seasons were quiet for the most part.
And
last year.
I get believing in a young, talented group. But you know what sells belief more than that? Adding to them.
Mm-hmm.
That
contingencies, right?
But,
like, you need also, to have backups. Like that small snow brush.
But that yes?
Yeah.
The tiny snow brush. Back. But it tells the core, we believe in you, and here's a complimentary player for it.
Right.
And we paid up a couple picks and prospects to do that. But we believe in you. But that didn't happen. And as Bruce said, Kevin Adams painted himself into a corner. He did. The off seasons of inaction, of relative inaction, did this.
Yeah, that'll do it. Because you have a restless fan base as well.
This past off season, he made a couple of moves that looked pretty savvy, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But it was two off seasons ago where you really needed to add someone.
a goaltender, because you couldn't even bet on UPL going on the run he did. Going into the season, I was not confident in that at all.
You also needed another top four defenseman.
You did.
They didn't get that. And you needed another top six player.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't get that.
With experience. Imagine a veteran.
Because you still had as many prospects 2 years ago than you do now.
2 years ago, you had the number one prospect pool in the NHL ranked. You could have easily made a move.
Yes.
Easily made a move.
Because guess what? The only difference between now and two seasons ago with your prospect pool is you lost Savoy.
Mm-hmm.
You gained Hellenius.
Exactly.
Okay, so there's a net neutral there.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing here?
Yeah, it's like eating a stick of celery. Just
yes.
Negative calories.
Yes. Right,
so, yeah. You just burn it while you eat it. You got nothing.
Look what you all do to me! Yeah. I was trying to avoid the Sabres Day, but I'm here for you all because that's what's supposed to happen. We're here for you. 803-0550 is the number to call. Ryan, Bob, John, I see you guys on hold. Stay there. We'll get to you on the other side. Sports Talk Saturday. I'm still talking about the damn Sabres here on WGR.
We got to make better decisions with the puck and make sure that we're helping each other out. If you're, you know, going for an offensive play and you're expecting somebody to make a certain play and they don't, and it gets turned over, you're typically in a bad defensive spot. So you got to be careful.
That was Sabres winger Jason Zucker, who very, very smartly, when asked about the high sticking call, said, I don't want to get fined.
Yeah, that's a valid response.
Yeah.
No one's going to say anything about that.
Because that is such a weird rule that happened when that goal was called off after they responded early against Toronto. But then that goal gets taken off. They fall down 3-0. Then they fall down 5-1. And it's the same old song and dance that we've seen for the second half of this losing streak, I would say. Because at the first, here I am talking about the Sabres. I didn't want to talk about the Sabres today. I didn't feel like doing it. But you know what? It's our job. We are honor bound to do this. So we're going to do this.
We literally walked in and said, you know what? We're going to hold off today.
Yeah.
They've lost as many games in a row as they've won all season.
They've lost more now. They've lost more games than they've won all season.
So, yeah, I think it was time to.
Hey, I want to come in here and talk about the college football playoff. I want to come in here and talk about things that just aren't the Sabres today. But it sounds like y'all need it. Y'all need this today. You guys need us. And we're here for you. That's what we're supposed to do. That's part of our job. And quite honestly, it is one of the more rewarding things to help people feel at least a little bit better, or at least help them commiserate. That's part of why I do this. So why do I do this? Well, this is why. Because we get connected with our fans.
Yes.
It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Go to Bob in Buffalo. Bob, how you doing today? Good morning. Welcome to Sports Talk Saturday.
Good morning, guys. I just wanted to talk about the giant elephant in the room that no one wants to talk about. This is the worst coaching job in professional sports in the last decade. This is a prime example of not mixing blood and money. Like, this is like starting a business with your family. Hiring Lindy Ruff was the worst thing we could have done. This roster is riddled with high top-end talent. The Boston Bruins fired their head coach that had the NHL record for wins in a season because they were 500. We were praising the guy because he was 500. And now look at where we are. The whole step. Seth Appert coached Division III hockey before the AHL. He's not qualified to be where he is. Lindy Ruff should not be the head coach. The guys are not responding to him. You want to blame the players for giving up big leads? We get the league, and then the scheme is to go back into a shell and play trap. That's not what they're good at. They're scorers. They're fast scorers. We have one line that's physical, kind of. They're down in hits from last year. There's no one to blame for this year besides coaching. I guess you could blame Pegula for hiring the guy, but why would you hire a coach and the GM was his assistant years ago. The whole thing is just a debauchery. It's so damn frustrating. And then, by the way, you guys saying that you don't want to talk about hockey is no different than Owen Power not clearing out the front of the net. That's his job. That's what you guys are paid to do.
No, I know, Bob, and I appreciate that part, because the thing is when I say that, it is based on the state of the team. It is, and that's why I turned around on it. Like, my idea today was not to talk about them, but you guys need it. That's why I'm doing it. Like, I could have tried to, like, stuck my feet in the sand and said, nope, still not doing it. Nope, not going to do it. No, I'm telling you right now, this is what we're doing today. I didn't want to do it.
No, we are the radio home of the team, so it is.
But we got to do it.
It's our duty.
It is our duty. I came in here with a different mindset, but sometimes the plan doesn't go that way, and that's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
As for what you said, there is going to be some revisionist history that is coming back, which was the initial criticism of why Ruff was hired so quickly.
Yeah.
There was no proper interview process.
Mm-mm.
It was almost like he was brought in right away without much happening.
It was
with
almost an impulsive decision, it felt like.
It did seem like
it's like
that.
The Bills bringing back Marv Levy to run the team. And not the same position, right? But
yeah.
Like, it's kind of that same, like, oh, he was, you know, the Sabres were good under Lindy Ruff. Let's bring the nostalgia factor back.
And Kevin Adams stepped in front of everyone and said,
That's not it.
We're here. This is to win now.
Mm-hmm.
And now they are worse off than they ever were.
Yeah.
But my problem is always going to be this. If you're going to hire a new head coach, let him pick his staff. He didn't get to.
Let him clear out everything. If you're really getting, you think the coach is the problem, right? The head coach. His staff is definitely an extension of that issue. And then you kept those staff members on the staff. Not saying Seth Appert, right? Because he was technically in Rochester.
Appert was the other new name, by the way.
Yes, and it's him and Lindy Ruff trying to figure this out together. You should have cleared out the other names. You should have let Lindy pick his own staff. Appert is Appert. I get it. You like to hire from within. You like to promote from within, right? And Appert seems like a logical thing. Like, hey, Lindy.
Promoting from within is the problem now, though.
Exactly, because look at your GM did it with no prior GM experience. And that is I thought when it happened, I thought that was a red flag. And I don't mean to be sitting here, I'm not trying to bash anybody, but it's true.
The outside perception is you hired a guy that has no experience.
Right, and I think that's showing. That has showed over the years.
Because I said two off seasons ago was the time to make a move.
And believe me, I more than anybody believe you need to get the opportunity to prove that you're worth it, right?
Yes.
Like, how is he going to prove he's a GM without getting the GM experience, right?
Yeah, and his drafting acumen does seem to be above average at minimum.
Drafting, yes, but it's the sitting on the hands in the offseason just hoping everything's going to be okay.
Expecting the plan to be these guys are going to bounce back.
Right. You can't guarantee that. Just like UPL, you couldn't guarantee he was going to have a generational run last season.
Right.
He was hot and cold. That was UPL. You didn't know what you were getting with him.
Yes.
So that worked in his favor, but there's a lot that hasn't, and that's, I think, the problem.
Yes. And a head coach alone, a coaching staff does not make. I do think that there are some questions now you should be calling into everyone.
Yes.
Bob does have a point that, like, everyone could get this work today. Everyone can and should.
Yeah.
And they should. Like, Lindy Ruff has even said it. I need to do this. This is my job.
Said, this is my fix. This is my job. But
right.
he still doesn't know what's going on. I mean, I'm not slighting Lindy Ruff by saying he doesn't know what's going on.
This
problem is just such an enigma. They don't know how to fix it. They don't know what to do.
It's what he said, at a loss for words.
You're
in 12 games of a losing streak.
Yeah.
12 in a row.
And he said that at 10. Or 11. Like, it is continuing.
It's almost
probably will be 13.
It's the cleanest way to say what the bleep.
Yeah. It's FCC guidelines for how to drop the F-bomb.
Yes. That is essentially what's going on there. Is I don't know what the bleep is going on. Instead, he goes with, I have no words.
He probably...
Which is, again, the safest way to say it.
Yes.
It just, again... It's tough to talk about this team because it's the same old misery day in and day out.
And it's all negativity because we're in the midst of a 12-game losing streak. There's nothing on the positive side of the spectrum to even speak on.
You know what? I will say this. I'm sorry to
to anyone that has listened to me this offseason, heading into this year, and during the first part of the season.
Yeah.
I apologize for my role to play in this. You want to know why I say this? Because I was excited about the Buffalo Sabres. That is on me.
Yeah.
That part's on me. Because I had the audacity to think the idea of the Buffalo Sabres was going to actually show up this time. My idea, my headcanon of the hockey team that we root for here in Buffalo, that we cover here in Buffalo. My idea of the Buffalo Sabres in my head. I'm like, this is great. Joe, you should get into this team.
Yeah.
Start watching them. They're going to be fun. Blah, 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 blah,
we were talking
blah,
before
blah,
the show today
and
about
now,
that.
I want to throw my dang headphones because I'm trying to avoid this team like the plague today, but I'm here for all of y'all, and that's what we need. And maybe you guys are here for me too.
It's a dialogue that
but
needs
the idea
to happen.
Of the Buffalo Sabres through 13 years is still better than the actual Buffalo Sabres.
Right.
And it is pathetic that we are on 13 going on 14.
Yeah. You're still tied with the Jets.
There's too much work.
Yep, you're still tied with the Jets.
Too many teams you have to jump.
Ridiculous.
There's no way in heck that they are going to get out of this year.
This is the worst deficit they've been in, isn't it? Out of the past few years?
No. Because you ready?
No, they had the 8-game losing streak a couple years ago.
They had 18 in 2020 under the same general manager.
Oh, yeah. But it was the first year, so we couldn't ask any questions.
But again, what happens? What happens if Adams is fired and players are traded? It's another rebuild.
Right. You're definitely tacking on more time to the drought. There's no question. It's not a quick fix.
This is a
you ever seen the Property Brothers and all that?
I was going to attribute this to I'm Homer Simpson on top of that wrecking ball and being smashed between a rock and the bar called a hard place.
Yeah.
And it's not stopping.
Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't stop. And it won't stop. You're absolutely right, because the only way out of this right now, it seems, is rebuild.
Because the general manager did not add when there was time and an opportunity to add two off seasons ago. That's when you should have done it.
That was, like you said, one point out of the playoffs. They were playing hot. They were playing their style of hockey, the fast and loose, right? The quick, fast-paced
you
offense.
You add a player to that core.
Yep.
It adds confidence to them, and it adds a contingency plan in case something goes awry.
The baby snow scraper. You do not have the baby snow scraper. Love that that came back. What a callback. It's just so frustrating. As someone who's followed the Sabres, right? But in my lifetime, I was seven the last time they were... I was five. Five or seven. One of the two. The last time they were real contenders, right?
Can you do math?
Yeah,
I was
seven.
How old are you now?
I was seven. No, I'm 22. So the last time they were contenders, I was 7 years old. I wasn't digesting hockey games. I was learning to skate, right?
Yes.
I wasn't watching. In my lifetime, and in many others... children's lifetime, right? People my age. It's been hard to give a crap about this team because there hasn't been a good team. My parents took me to I remember, I got a Ryan Miller bobblehead. That was the most exciting moment of the night when I was a kid.
I feel like kids nowadays would rather get coal than a Sabres ticket.
100%. Why go to KeyBank Center? So you can pay $20 for a chicken bucket? We can't anymore because the player's gone.
The Jeff Skinner chicken bucket was actually one of the best things that happened last year.
That's what we're excited about here for the hockey team. Just the concessions, not the actual on-ice product, because it can't be fixed.
That chicken dinner.
Yeah, you got it. I remember we talked about that.
Was one of the best parts of the season last year.
One of the best parts of the last few seasons, I would say.
Yes.
That was the most headline-worthy thing about the team, minus being one point out a couple years ago.
And that chicken bucket was $53.
I'm going to choke. I forgot how expensive it was.
It was actually a good deal because there were 8 pieces of fried chicken.
Right, and they were pretty big pieces.
The sides weren't what I'd call great portions, but they were 6 sides.
Now they got you sitting out there choking on the Dominator, watching this terrible on-ice product, just pumping the cholesterol through your veins.
Ryan, you've held patiently. Welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. How you doing?
Hey, Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call, and happy holidays. I'll give you guys a gift, and I'll switch the subject just for one call to the AFC playoff picture. Yeah, you're welcome. And I actually think this last Thursday night game was actually pretty big for the Bills, having the Broncos lose. I think needing the Chiefs to drop two out of the three games, I think it kind of brings the Bengals back into the picture, which, kind of like Mike Schoep's point of view, they always scare me just because I have this weird fear of the Bengals, who are kind of alive. But I think it's even more important because the Broncos and Bengals, I believe, play head-to-head in 2 weeks from now, where the Bengals have the Browns this week. So I really do think if the Chiefs lose to the Texans or the Steelers and we win out, we still need one final loss. And I do think that could make that final Broncos-Chiefs game really meaningful if the Broncos do lose to the Bengals, because they're obviously playing for their playoff lives, which initially I thought the Broncos would probably be locked in. They wouldn't need the game, which means it probably would be easier for the Chiefs as well. So I know it's like a little bit of a mathematical take or maybe some wishful thinking, but I do think that loss by the Broncos was pretty big and could play into the Bills. I just want to hear what your thoughts are. Thanks.
Yeah, no, Ryan, I appreciate that. Happy holidays to you as well.
Yes.
Ryan, when it comes to with Denver with that loss, Denver could have all but sealed their spot.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Because it would have been, you would have had the leg up on the Chargers, and you would have had an opportunity to kind of try to seal yourself into the six. Because then we'd be staring at LA going, is there a collapse about to happen here? But no, now everyone's back into even ground, even footing.
Mm-hmm.
Denver, by the way, plays against Cincinnati next week, yes.
Yeah. In that game, the Bengals do scare you because their offense is electric. Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, right? Their defense is the problem.
Their defense is the problem, but the thing that the Bills have shown this year is they'll get in a shootout.
Yeah.
We'll do it.
Right.
We'll have some fun. So, and here's the thing about the Bengals to me. And this also is a microcosm to the Ravens this year. Past results do not guarantee future success.
Exactly. Being scared of the Ravens in the playoffs, that's a big thing around here. I do agree with the Bengals take, though, because there's just that sour taste in the mouth after that divisional round loss at home a few years ago where they just dogged on the Bills, right? But
yeah,
they can be frisky. I think they're a scary team in the playoffs if they make it in, because they've had to scrap their way to the playoffs, and they're kind of getting hot at the right time to do it.
All right, well, we're over the break. We've got to come back. Booty Cheek of the Week coming up next here. Derek Kramer, Joe Cal, this is Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR. My fun for this segment has almost been drained. Because there's a team I could point to for the Booty Cheek of the Week, and I would be able to go ahead and say it's the one that plays tonight against the Boston Bruins.
That's taking candy from a baby.
It is.
Can't do that. That's a low-hanging fruit. Oh, I mean, we could. But we've been doing it.
Was that? Were you trying to quote Austin Powers with a character name?
Wait,
I'm not going to say.
It kind of looks like a baby. Come here. I'm going to eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
There it is. What is happening to my life?
Sorry. I'm just mentally spiraling from the Sabres performance this season. Luckily, the Bills are hanging us on.
You're drawing into hysteria, and I'm going into dread.
Yeah.
Two different vantage points, all the same misery. So, Booty Cheek of the Week. there's still plenty of things that have happened. Not... What, my friend John just said, past Derek is the Booty Cheek of the Week. You're not wrong! Not wrong, because I have to go shopping later.
You need to text me updates on like how long the lines are.
We need... probably will have to.
Because then after, you know, after this week, we gotta talk next week.
Yeah, so it's
get a, you know,
it's me.
Get a report.
It's me. I am. Who do you think you are? I am. All right, we're back. Joe, what do you got?
I mean, I would say the Sabres for sure. We did. I don't know if this is the one you're going to go with in the break. You know, I just Madden rating, Jerry Judy.
The Jets story with Jerry
Judy. Yeah, how do you do that? Josh Allen hit the Madden ratings. I just don't. How does a GM look at that and be like, you know what? No.
It's his kid's influence.
Right.
And that's the thing.
You know, I'm going to listen to my kid who plays Madden. He's definitely a squeaker on the mic. Tell me whether or not whether or not I'm going to take Jerry Jeudy and bring him to this team. Yeah, you know what? No.
Mike is just peeking constantly.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah, I guarantee you that's what's happening. And we're listening to him. Or he's listening to him for NFL advice, how to run a team. Oh, God, I can't.
The secondary for me is the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay.
Why the heck did you trade for Deontay Johnson?
Yeah.
His time with the Ravens amounted to one catch, six receiving yards, and 39 snaps.
Yeah, not great. It's not
great. You wasted a fifth-round pick. I mean, granted, it's only a fifth-round pick, but you wasted it. You would have gotten more snaps out of picking someone with that pick than you did with Deontay Johnson. And it's like, what the heck were you even doing? Why'd you even trade for him? It was weird. Anyway, speaking of weird, we got to go. Hour number two coming up here on the docket.
The final hour.
The final hour, not the second hour. We've only got two this time around. So let's get back on the format clock here coming up next on WGR.
Morgan Riley plays it right back to the Sabres line. Right side, pass in front, score. Pacioretty, I believe, yep. Down to the net. And it's a 5-1 Toronto lead with 9:13 to go in the second.
12 losses in a row now for the Buffalo Sabres. They fell to the Toronto Maple Leafs last night, 6-3. Goal scorers for the Sabres included Owen Power, J.J. Paterka, and Matias Samuelson for Buffalo. The Sabres are back in action tonight where they head on the road, taking on the Boston Bruins for a 7 o'clock puck drop. We will have the Steve Foley Law pregame show starting at 6 right here on WGR. To the Bills as they prepare for their first matchup with the New England Patriots, the injury report, the Barnes Firm injury report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. No players are ruled out for the Bills, but there are 7 players listed as questionable, those including Rasul Douglas, Damar Hamlin, Matt Milano, Taylor Rapp, Curtis Samuel, Baylen Spector, and Dorian Williams. For New England, 2 players are listed as out, including running back Jamichael Hasty and cornerback Marcus Jones. Around the NFL, 2 games going on Saturday. That includes the Houston Texans going to Arrowhead, taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. That game will be at 1 o'clock. And at 4 o'clock, a battle for the AFC North between the Steelers and the Ravens. According to ESPN's Adam Schefter, the Falcons are expected to cut Kirk Cousins before his $10 million roster bonus is due on March 17th. Cousins was benched by the Falcons in favor of rookie quarterback Michael Penix Jr. College football action last night. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish punched their ticket to the second round of the college football playoff, a 27-17 win over Indiana. Other first round matchups in the college football playoff today include SMU at Penn State at noon, Clemson at Texas at 4 o'clock, and the late game sees Tennessee at Ohio State at 8 o'clock. That's your Paddock Chevrolet Sports Update. Paddock Chevrolet with you for the extra mile. I'm Evan DePasquale for WGR Sports Radio 550.
Throughout my time, I've been here having fun, making sure I come to this building, having a smile on my face when everybody sees me, making sure I say hello and dap them up and let them know how much I love being here. I think it is infectious. I think it's something that can spread throughout the team. But at the same time, when I'm not smiling, it's because something's not right, and guys understand that too, so they can lock in. And again, it just takes quote-unquote reps, right, of being in this building and making sure we're going through and doing the little things the right way. And when things are up to par, you know, I understand that, and guys on the team can tell that too based on my face.
What's that? Sounds like an MVP to me. Doesn't it? I feel like that voice sounds like a most valuable player type of guy.
I didn't hear a word he said. All I heard were 3 letters. MVP.
It is funny that Evan's playing money, entering back with the Josh Allen clip.
He is money.
He is money. And he has been. And the Bills have been as well. Heading into their first matchup against the New England Patriots.
Division champions.
Where they are the division champions before even looking at the New England Patriots this year.
Upset alert this week, by the way.
For who?
No, I'm kidding. 100% kidding. Drake May with his cargo pockets filled to the brim? Are we serious?
Hey, man, don't diss on cargo pants.
No, do you remember that Sports Talk Saturday through the summer after the draft? And there was a video of him circulating, walking around, and he had his pockets, like, loaded.
Yep.
And they were, like, sticking straight out.
Yes.
I'm like, dude.
Nope.
Utilize the other pockets on your pants. You're only using the top two.
Yeah, come on, man. You got cargo pants? Use those cargo pockets.
Yeah. Like those guys who only wear cargo shorts. You know who I'm talking about?
Yep.
Like, yeah, even, you know, in winter.
You're right. There's an upset alert for this weekend. It's the Browns against the Bengals. Because the Bengals can't stop a nosebleed.
Browns are on their third quarterback, too. So,
yeah.
Famous Jameis is no more.
All right. Everyone's been on hold patiently throughout the day if they haven't been getting through. So we're going to finish this up here. We're going to get connected with our fans one more time. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We go to Tony in Buffalo. Tony, how you doing? Welcome to Sports Talk Saturday.
Hey, I'm doing good. I think you guys are being a lot pessimistic. I think they stopped their losing streak tonight, and they're going to – I get most of my hockey from listening to you guys, and I think they're going to come back and make the playoffs.
Tony,
I feel bad listening to you guys because you sound so discouraged.
I am discouraged. I will fully admit that. Tony, with a win tonight, they are still in last place in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, they're going to be in last before puck drop, most likely.
They might be last in the league before puck drop.
Mm-hmm.
But again, with a win tonight, snapping a 12-game losing streak, that would put them at 28 points.
Yeah, there's quite a mountain to climb.
28 points puts you at last place in the Eastern Conference.
What's the next closest? The Canadiens?
At 29. And they would have two games in hand on you.
I love how the Canadiens are the worst team in hockey, you know, blah, blah, blah. But then the Sabres are about to take
the Sabres are saying, hold my beer.
Mm-hmm.
On an almost constant
hold the brewski, Montreal. We're going down.
Oh, and by the way, Montreal plays Detroit tonight. So the teams that are closest to you at the bottom of the conference, one of them is getting 2 points.
Bogus.
Like, that's fact. If it's a three-point game, and like both teams end up at 31 and you're sitting there at 28, it's laughable, because then you're still two games out of getting out of the basement.
Oh, it's already laughable. I mean, just the fact that you are about you are going to be last place.
A Canadiens win in overtime against Detroit today, even with Buffalo winning, would put you 3 points still solely in the cellar in the Eastern Conference.
Garbage.
I will say I am proud of one thing, though. Those fraudsters in the New York Islanders are being shown that they're frauds now, too.
Yeah.
7 overtime losses already this year.
Yeah, that'll do it. 7 overtime losses. Jeez.
Yeah. But they can't hit the broadside of a barn when it comes to scoring. 86 goals. That's last in the East. But you know who they've beaten twice this year?
The Sabres.
Oh,
I remember the first time.
I'm starting to get Titans level hatred for the Islanders.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like irrelevant to me. They're supposed to be irrelevant to me.
Supposed to be.
And no.
They won't be.
At this point, it's getting personal between me and the New York Islanders. We'll deal with that later, though. John in Rochester, thank you for waiting patiently. Welcome to Sports Talk Saturday.
Hey, guys. Hey, Joe. I hear you put off your Christmas shopping.
Nope, that's me. That was Derek.
Oh, that was Derek.
Yeah, Joe.
Oh,
wow. Believe me, I was ahead of the game this year. Normally, I am a little later, but I got it done.
I'm the lazy jackass.
All right. When I was 16 years old in 1967, I put my Christmas shopping off until Christmas Eve late afternoon, and they had to basically throw me out of the store. I mean, it doesn't get any worse than that.
You know what, John? That sounds like, to me, that sounds like a challenge. Put your Christmas shopping off to the point where, like, you hear from the overhead, ding, ding, ding.
There's 10 minutes left before we close our doors.
That's when you hide in, like, the TV section. Like, you pull a TV out, you crawl in, and you pull the TV back in.
J.J. Watt and the Dick's commercial?
Yeah. Exactly. You're gonna hit all the Christmas movie references.
What am I, J.J. Watt and the Dick's sporting goods commercial?
Thank you.
Oh, no. Yeah, no.
Clip that.
Don't clip that. yeah, no. The Christmas thing, I know this is my fault, and it stinks. But you know what? If I ever get... Like, you know what that is? That looks like a... it's an episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine where Jake Peralta is last-minute Christmas shopping, and he has a diehard situation there.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
That would be me. I'd be the one that gets stuck in a Christmas store because I waited till the last minute.
Yeah, it's like Mall Cop.
My fault.
You're stuck there.
My fault. Oh, my God. Paul Bart. Mall Cop.
Mm-hmm. Technically, it's on Black Friday and Thanksgiving, but he's still doing... Everyone's doing
still
their holiday
Christmas
shopping.
Themed,
yep.
Does that make... Because it's Black Friday, but it is Christmas-themed.
Yeah, you're buying Christmas gifts. Like, that's the whole premise,
Does
right?
that make Paul Blart Mall Cop a Christmas movie?
Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no.
Maybe? We're asking the hard-hitting questions here today.
Let's see if anything... I'll...
Good luck. I love that you're going to put this on your shoulders, and I'm not. I'm the one that said it.
Oh, my God. The number one search result is Paul Blart Mall Cop a Christmas movie.
What's the internet
Technically
say?
Takes place before Christmas on Black Friday, to be exact, but it sure ticks several Christmas Eve boxes.
Thank
it's
you.
A parody of the holiday classic Die Hard and set in a mall on the busiest shopping day of the season, getting ready for holiday.
Wait, say that sentence again.
It's a parody of the holiday classic Die Hard.
Oh, what did that say? As I'm staring at my producer with daggers, the same way he stares at me when I'm late to the break. What did that say again, Joe? Say it one more time, just for the third.
It is a parody of the holiday classic Die Hard. There are lots of Christmas trees around the mall.
Yeah, there are.
Classic? Mm-hmm. That's debatable.
Get out. You can fight about it being a Christmas movie all you want. Do not say it's not a classic.
You know what's funny?
I just don't...
Careful. Be careful what you say next.
Paul Blart?
I'm just saying, when it comes to when I think about Christmas movies, it's kind of how I felt with the whole High School Musical thing.
Oh, we're back. We're so back.
I almost was about to play so that back. Open to start the show, but anyways.
Is there sports that happen in High School Musical?
Yes.
Then it's a sports movie.
If you think about...
Is there Christmas that happens in Die Hard?
I
Is
can't.
There a Christmas that happens in Die
Does
Hard?
Does it happen on Christmas Eve?
It needs to. There
Does
needs to be.
Does it have Christmas in it?
Does he say Merry Christmas at all?
Yeah, you filthy animals.
That's Home Alone.
Oh, that too. Well, that's an homage to it.
Oh, yes, you're right. I forget.
Come on.
I just if I'm
a Christmas movie, nodding at a Christmas movie. Hmm.
If I am thinking about a Christmas movie. That is not going to be... That's nowhere near the list.
Oh, it's right up there with Iron Man 3 for me. He says, Merry Christmas, take him to church.
Yeah.
And it takes place on Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys. Ugh.
Don't you guys me.
Funnily enough, you know what's...
I am going to you guys me.
You know what's awesome? My family, at least my dad's side, Paul Blart does kick off our holiday season every Thanksgiving... like not Thanksgiving, but the night before Thanksgiving,
but that
get
makes
together
sense.
And watch that movie, and like make a bunch of food together and all that stuff.
That's
it's
brilliant.
Really
though.
Funny.
That's brilliant.
But like, does that take it out of a Christmas movie because we watch it around Thanksgiving? But no, it takes place at Christmas.
What did you say though? You said kick off our holidays.
It does. It's a parody of the classic. I'll say it again. Holiday classic Die Hard, and is set in a mall on the busiest shopping day of the year, gearing up for the Christmas shopping season.
Yeah. So I would say it counts.
Yeah.
In a loose definition, and that's what we're using for our Christmas movie criteria, is it's a loose definition.
It says the mall is Christmas forward,
yes,
time, place. I'm like, okay.
There we go.
So now we've gotten to the bottom of that.
There's a Yuletide theme.
We've gotten to the bottom of it. Paul Blart Mall Cop, Christmas.
Paul Blart Mall Cop, Christmas movie
mm-hmm.
confirmed
mm-hmm.
here on Sports
Where were we
Talk
going?
Saturday.
Where were we going before this took us down the hole?
Well, I mean, the call from John.
Oh,
he had heard
yeah.
us on the opening band, mm-hmm. and that was my lackluster ability to get things done on time. So.
Yeah. No, I, listen, I'm trying to think.
So, it was the last call with the Sabres, too, about, like, they're still in last place, no matter if they win tonight or not, in the Eastern Conference. But that's pretty much it. So, really, like, yeah, there is no angle to go but up, but the problem is are we convinced they're done going downward? That's the problem that we're having.
I'm not convinced.
And that's the unfortunate part.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a lot of people are not convinced that the Sabres are done going downward.
I'm hearing Mayday and I'm not seeing a shoot.
Yes.
Like, that's what's happening right
now.
That
is what's happening. And it's tough because you want them to do nothing but succeed. And you want them to just be average this year. Because average is getting it done. This year, the wild card is probably on pace for 82 points.
Yep, and guess what? The expectation for the team was nothing more than to break the drought. Make it in. If you lose, you lose. Make it to a playoff game.
Yeah.
Please, a series, please.
Anything. Anything.
Even if you lost every game, you made it. You made it.
And the most terrifying part about this losing streak, by the way, the next longest losing streak in the National Hockey League right now.
What? Like
is shared by four different teams. Five different teams. At three.
Yeah. You've got 10 years on the next three closest organizations.
But also
that is unreal.
But also you have 9 games on the next losing streak.
Mm-hmm.
You have 9 games on the next longest losing streak in the National Hockey League. Win a game right now. Stop the bleeding.
There's no tourniquet.
But they need to find a way. And Jason Zucker said it last night. You got to find a way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the NHL.
You'd think a 4-0 lead at home would be the way. It's hard to hang on to that, though.
Apparently.
It's hard to hang on to leads at home. And you know how they say a two-goal lead is the most dangerous league in hockey? Any lead for the Sabres is a dangerous lead in hockey.
And there it is.
Because they can't hang on, no matter what. If it's 3 goals, 4 goals, anything, can't do it.
And it's tough watching the team this year. It really is. Like me, I know I have to do it, and that's fine. But for anyone else out there right now, you don't have to. And that's the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
It's finding out for yourself, is this worth my time? And that is the hardest thing going on right now with them. You have a fan base that more and more people are deciding they're not worth your time.
I don't know how tickets are being sold. I know there's faithful fans, right? And it's an experience for a family, right? Where Highmark Stadium might not be the best environment for young children.
It's not.
It's clearly not.
Call a spade a spade. It's not.
Yeah. KeyBank Center is how you introduce young Buffalo sports fans to the fan base, right? That might be the only way you're selling tickets.
Yeah.
Like that's how I was introduced to sporting events.
That is true.
Bison's games and Sabres games.
That's true. We'll kick it back out of the phones here. Rob in Connecticut, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. Good afternoon.
Hello, Derek and Joe. It's always a pleasure. Silly, wacky Sports Talk Saturday, and you guys are wacky today. I love it. I definitely have an answer for you guys. For the Buffalo Sabres. You ready?
I am interested.
You ready for this?
Yes, sir.
The answer is bring back the Hanson brothers. We need the Hanson brothers to come to Buffalo. That's what we need. And, you know, one of the things I always wanted to say was when I listen to Buffalo Live, you know, Sabres Live,
mm-hmm.
when you know, Marty talks, he reminds me of the goalie from Slapshot.
A little bit.
Yeah, he's got
the cadence
the
to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's the, you know, the French-Canadian
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, he's got the Quebecois to him, yeah.
His timbre is very similar.
You got to bring back the Hanson brothers, guys.
Rob, you know? I will say in response, it's not working for the New York Rangers with Matt Rempe. So.
No, it is sad, though. I mean, that they're going through this, and it's a struggling season, and it's just difficult. It really is, and I feel bad every time I check the score. If I didn't get a chance to watch the game, I'm like, oh boy, mm-hmm. they lost again. I can only imagine what you guys are feeling, you know, up there in Buffalo. So anyways, I wanted to say happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and be safe and enjoy the holidays.
You too, Rob. It's
thank
always
you,
good
Rob.
To hear from you. Thank
yeah,
you
too.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say about a team that.
Listen, I'm all in on that idea at this point.
Is in a circle. No, it's not. It's not working for the Rangers. Ask the Rangers how Matt Rempe is doing.
Right.
He's cheeks. Awful.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible hockey player. Oh, but he hits people. Yeah, and then he gets ejected.
And then you're skating 11. You're skating 11 with Matt Rempe anyway, because you're not putting him on the ice. Hey, remember who was the – oh, yeah, wasn't it Dalton Smith, the guy that Ralph Kruger signed to, like, have this little vengeance feeling against Tampa?
Oh, yeah.
And then he played for, like, a minute mm-hmm. and got kicked out?
Yeah.
Like
– Listen, I –
Yeah, we definitely don't need that.
No.
I'll tell you that.
The anti-Ted Lasso Ralph Kruger, the soccer coach coming to a different team.
I was talking about the Dalton Smith.
Mm.
Yeah. That's a...
It's still just terrible. All of it's terrible.
All of it's terrible. All of it's terrible. Merry Christmas, you filthy animals. All right. It's time to shift gears. Because I think I've had enough. I've been here for you all today in the holiday spirit.
The spirit of giving.
Spirit of giving my ear to hear everyone's problems. And that's perfectly fine. It's one of the more enjoyable aspects of the job mm-hmm. is to help people commiserate together.
Yes.
That said, I'm going to admittedly be selfish for the next segment. I've wanted to talk about the college football playoff all day today. It's starting up again. It started last night. Not to a great start, but still. And I want to get to it. And we should get to it. We should talk about the college football playoff coming up next here. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley, you're listening to WGR. I've been wanting to do this for a minute. You could kind of see it, like when I filled in the morning show last week. Three out of the 4 days I was there, Extendo Sports had something to do with the college football playoff.
Yeah.
The first day that I was with Joe, and then the 2 days I was with Nate.
Mm-hmm.
And Nate wanted to talk more in particular about the game that happened last night, Notre Dame against Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if Geary is a happy boy today.
I would assume so.
Because Notre Dame thrashing.
Yeah.
On Indiana. Indiana made it closer as the game went on, 27-17 being the final. But overall, you looked at that game and went, okay, that defense is legit.
Yeah.
Out there in Notre Dame.
We also had the birth of Alabama Jones last night. Did you hear that? Shane Gillis was on game day.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick Saban, him and Nick Saban were going back and forth. And Nick Saban had an Indiana Jones hat on. He's like, okay, Alabama Jones over on the side. Because they were talking about the IU coach giving up time to come in, do an interview instead of being in the locker room. And he's like, Shane Gillis, I didn't realize was such a big Notre Dame fan. He's like, you know, what a horrible franchise. This guy's not even leading the team. And Saban's like chiming in and like joking around with him and everything. So Alabama Jones.
Yes. Speaking of Alabama, there's a lot of complaints of like, oh, Indiana got stomped in the first game. That's why Alabama should always be in it. And I'm like, no. You lost to Oklahoma and Vanderbilt. You still should have been out.
Yes.
Sorry, play again next year. Don't lose three games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, exactly.
You lost three. And two of them were Oklahoma and Vanderbilt. Not what I would call good teams. Hey, you think this one was a whitewash yesterday? Why don't you watch Oklahoma and what they did to Alabama?
Mm-hmm.
So, enough with the legacy thing with Alabama. I'm sick of it. I never want to hear it again. Until they actually, like, you know, have a normal season again. They had a down year. Happens. Bad time to have it. Worst time to have it, I should say, having a 12-team playoff.
Yeah.
But I think the committee did it right. And Indiana, like I said, they kind of scraped into this game a little later on, but it was a too little, too late sort of thing, 14-point fourth quarter. So
yeah, it was too... Yeah. Nothing they could do at that point.
Yeah.
I do like the 12-team playoff, though.
Yes.
More college football, you know, like it just makes everything.
More higher stakes college football.
Exactly. And it's not like last season, I remember all the complaints. I mean, you still get the Alabama complaints, but it's a lot more interesting to watch as well.
Yes. So we've got three games. One mm-hmm. going on right now. Penn State up 7-0 on SMU as they drove down, got the first score of the game. It was on a pick six, actually. They didn't drive down and do anything. They just got a pick six.
Wow.
And again, it's a lot of defensive football to start out here. And you're expecting a lot of that going on. College football has spread offenses and everything like that, but mm-hmm. there's NFL. Also not as polished of quarterback play, for example. So there's going to be more defensive games.
Yeah. Well, that's you even looking at the video games, Madden versus College Football 25. They play differently for that exact reason.
Yes.
A lot more turnovers in the college game than there are in Madden.
They are kids. Mm-hmm. And that's perfectly normal to suspect of that to happen. I'm fascinated with SMU because they were the one that everyone was really worried about.
Mm-hmm.
They were the team that everyone was thinking, are they going to make it or is it going to be Alabama?
Right.
Are they going to make it or is it going to be another team that lost three games?
Well, and they're playing number four Penn State, so it's interesting.
Yes.
You know, that underdog story.
Yeah.
The
fourth ranked team in the country on the sixth seed in the CFP.
Yeah. Everybody loves an underdog.
Everyone loves an underdog. And right now, Penn State is going to be facing a lot of the underdog story. If they win, they're going to take on Boise State.
Yep.
Who is the three seed in the CFP?
Ranked ninth,
but they're third in the college football playoff because of automatic bids.
Right.
I am fascinated to see what happens when Boise State takes the field, whether it be against Penn State or SMU. Later, Zach Jones is going to be sweating bullets.
He is.
As Texas takes on Clemson, that's at 4 o'clock. Probably my favorite game for this weekend is going to be later on in the evening. That's Tennessee and Ohio State. That's a big one.
That'll be a good game.
It'll be a great game. And we might also see what could be classified by a state representative as a potential felony. That's what I'm looking for. Tennessee to beat Ohio State and plant the flag right in the middle again before that law is made.
Yeah, please do.
Do it in the nick of time, right before that law gets passed.
Get them out right away. I don't want to watch Ohio State play again in the playoffs.
Plant the flag before that goofy law gets written in.
Do it pregame. Just do it. Like, just establish dominance at the start, you know?
That would be great. But now, we look at these teams, though. Notre Dame's going to be taking on Georgia. That's going to be a really good matchup. Those are two prestigious teams.
Mm-hmm.
Rich histories. But now, playing amongst at the top of their game. Especially with Notre Dame, because they've had a few years where like the ride was getting a little bumpy. Oregon, the one seed. I don't know. Like, Oregon might be that team from start to finish this year. But they get probably get the hardest challenge coming in with Tennessee, Ohio State.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think that those two teams are being slept on. Well, not Ohio State. Tennessee's being slept on. And I do think that they are a team to be careful with. Texas, if you ask Zach, you get a varying answer based on his mood.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's a nice path for them getting Arizona State as the next draw. And I'm interested to see what the Sun Devils can do as well.
Yeah.
I think Texas beats Clemson. I hope Tennessee wins. And obviously, this game going on in the first quarter between Penn State and SMU, the Nittany Lions up on the Mustangs by a score of 7-0. They just got the ball back.
Yes.
So it looks like some tough sledding so far for SMU after they lost the ACC title game to Clemson.
It's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out.
Yeah.
You might see a couple upsets.
I would expect Penn State will probably finish this one off. They're a good team this year.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, if they're up 7-0 and have the ball back, possibility to go up two scores early, I mean, you can just kind of hang on to that.
By the way, if you want to look at some players to watch, by the way, Nate pointed one out last night.
Mm-hmm.
A safety for the Fighting Irish.
Okay.
I need to look at the tweet again. Hang on. Where is it? But yeah, no, Nate's very happy today, I'd imagine. Xavier Watts is the safety. He says he's the best safety in the country. But, you know, hey, Bills might need a safety. So maybe look at the guy.
You know what's really funny? A cool tie-in here. We've been talking Sabres. An ex-Saber who went to Notre Dame, Mr. Hinostroza.
Oh.
Yeah, Vinny Hinostroza. Notre Dame. He He roomed with my cousin.
Nice.
Yeah.
By the way, Xavier Watts, senior safety. So
senior safety.
So Bills fans might want to go look at him at Notre Dame.
Hey, draft talk. Here we go.
Here we go.
We're back.
Look at it.
We're back into the NFL draft.
I mean,
it's always nice to look at players and not have to worry about a single mock draft for a long time.
Right.
Mock drafts. But that's it. Yeah, mock draft simulator coming back.
It's got to come back.
Coming back to a station near you. And now, speaking of Christmas gifts, though, Todd Kalin will join us coming up next as Niagara basketball takes the airwaves at 1 o'clock. So we're going to talk to Todd, get a little pregame going on in just a few moments here on WGR. Welcome back. Final segment here of Sports Talk Saturday. This music isn't very common on our airwaves for at least this show.
Yes.
But it is very common for Niagara basketball. And Christmas come early for me personally because I get to talk to Todd Kalin. And Todd Kalin joins us now on the Western Hotline leading up to Niagara taking on St. Bonaventure today. And you'll hear that action starting at 1 o'clock. Todd,
right here.
Happy holidays. How are you?
Well, happy holidays. Thank you very much. Good to chat with you guys again in the final game for the Purple Eagles before the Christmas break coming up on WGR at 1 o'clock.
And
so I appreciate you getting us in here for a little pregame show as part of your show.
Yeah, anytime we got to do it, we got to do it, Todd. I miss being able to talk to you. So personally, I'm here for this. I win twice today.
thanks very much. Pressure's on.
Pressure's on, and the pressure's on for Niagara here today because it's not just another game. This is Big Four basketball, baby. They've got Bonaventure on the road. The Bonnies are looking fresh, 11-1, 5-0 at home. Meanwhile, Niagara, they're holding serve within their conference, but one of their biggest problems so far has been winning away from home this season.
Yeah, the Purple Eagles, and it's part of it because they have played such a tough road schedule. Make no mistake about it, when you're in the, you know, a MAC school, you tend to play a lot of those non-conference games on the road, so you go tangle with the Big Ten and the Spartans of Michigan State, mm-hmm. and then you take on a couple of MAC teams on one road trip at Bowling Green, at Kent State. Then I like what Coach Paulus did. He put together a three-day tournament, three games in 3 days at Lafayette College, and that was good for the club. They went 2-1, but it also got them ready for what would be a tournament setting if you fast forward, hopefully, to March for the MAC tournament where you are playing most often every day. So it has been an interesting non-conference schedule that wraps up here today with the 160th meeting all time between these two schools. So you talk Big Four basketball, nothing better than coming down to the Riley Center, taking on the Bonnies. The Bonnies with the upper hand, they've won 88-71 for the Purple Eagles in the previous 159 editions of this rivalry. Maybe a break for the Purple Eagles, right? The students are on winter break, so it is not jam-packed across from us, but they still expect a pretty decent crowd here on a wintry Saturday afternoon.
So, Todd, looking at the Purple Eagles roster this season, I'm just taking a glance quickly here. There's a lot of underclassmen. This is a very new team, right? Compared to seasons past, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it is brand new. If we could all caps when you're writing new, if you would. 14 new players. Folks, there are six teams in the country that return zero players from the season before. And Niagara is one of those six teams. So Coach Paulus has truly rebuilt an entire roster. So 14 players. Some of the transfers are upperclassmen, some grad students, and some seniors sprinkled in. The freshmen are finding their way here, but the fellows that are on the floor more times than not are sophomores, juniors, seniors, and grad students. But I'll tell you one story. This is interesting. I've said it before on the air, but one of the early practices for the Purple Eagles, this illustrates what a brand-new team looks like. So they're getting together for summer workouts, and there's one drill where you catch the ball in the wing and then one more pass to your teammate in the corner. And Coach Paulus, you're supposed to call for the ball, call your teammate's name to alert him that you're open in the corner. Coach Paulus had to put a stop to that drill because not everybody knew everybody else's name to do this drill. That is baby steps, right? That just illustrates how much of a brand new team this is. Now, of course, by now everybody knows everybody's name, right? But the December edition of the Purple Eagles is better than the November edition, but we hope that January is better than December and February better than January for a brand new team that starts to work a little bit better together with each passing opportunity. Coach Paulus always talks about, well, it's another opportunity for us to practice or to get out on the floor, and they need it because it's a brand new group and everybody's learning each other's styles and everything. So it is a new team, but there's plenty of excitement. 5-6, they've won 3 of their last 4, playing good basketball. They'll have to play awfully well today, though.
Yeah, absolutely. They're going to have to make sure that things get done here. When it comes to one of the younger players on this group, it looks like Jahari Williamson's the leading scorer on this team, 11.5 points per game on average, and their leading shooter. What's it going to take, though, for winning a game here against St. Bonaventure, for a team that is entirely composed of new talent, to win on the road? That makes it an interesting challenge, and it adds a nice little chapter to it why there might be struggles on the road.
Yeah, you're right, and you picked out a great player to talk about in Jahari Williamson. He's a Pickering, Ontario native. He's a transfer from Valparaiso, but he is a straight-up shooter. And if you leave Jahari open, you might be taking the ball out of the hoop, because he can shoot if given even a little bit of room. So he has been the Purple Eagles' best perimeter shooter. And talking about playing on the road and how do you find a way to win in the opener of the Lafayette Classic, Niagara was taking on Binghamton, and the lights have gone down here. It might get a little bit loud in the background, but we're here with you for at least another 5 minutes, as the anthem's going to start in about 5 minutes. But game on the line. Jahari Williamson's bringing the ball up. It is literally tied in the waning seconds. Inside of a second, Jahari pulls the trigger on a deep three. Nothing but net. He knew it all along. So if you say in boxing you got a puncher's chance, I think today we've got a shooter's chance. If Niagara, Jahari Williamson, Olumide Adeladun, Lou as they call him, we need Lou to get hot from the perimeter. This is a team that, you know, it was a 47-44 game against Michigan State in the early part of the second half, and Coach Tom Izzo called timeout. So, you know, they put the pedal to the floor after that. But Niagara, I mean, they're here. They're ready to go. But it's going to take a great effort. And Jahari, if they win, Jahari's going to be a big part of it.
Williamson, obviously, sophomore here with the team. Justin Smith, senior, leading scorer for two of the last three games for Niagara. So it looks like there's a little bit of that veteran leadership coming into this new group, led by Smith as well.
Yeah, Justice is an interesting study in that two of the last three games, I think he's had 17 points, and then when he has not had his best game, then it's noticeable. Maybe he turns the ball over a little bit more than Coach Paulus and the coaching staff would want. A little tweak to the starting lineup. They have put Zion Russell in the starting lineup the last few games. That has brought Justice off the bench, and maybe that's worked a little bit better for him, as he can see the game and how it develops and maybe see some pockets where he can expose the defense. He is another deep threat, but he's also got good size that he can take oftentimes a shorter player to the rack. So a lot of times if Justice is having a good game, that is awfully good news for Niagara.
Todd, I can't let you go before I ask you, hey, the Bills have looked pretty fun here this year. Wow. And I need your quick take here, as we got to get you going for the call of the game today.
Well, loving everything that's going on at One Bills Drive, right? It is going to be cold. We will bundle up tomorrow for the Patriots back in town. But I am truly the ultimate, you know, Josh Allen Pagebook. It is a one-week league. Like, you got to win tomorrow, and then we can worry about out-of-town scoreboard and all the other jazz. But it is so much fun rooting for this team. And I go back to, you know, the four Super Bowls in a row, and back then I thought, well, we're never going to see this again. And we are absolutely seeing it. I'm thrilled for my sons that can see a Bills team that dominates. And, you know, Josh Allen and everybody hop aboard his shoulders. It is fantastic talking Bills football.
Todd, I wish we had more time, but we got to get you going and get you ready for the call of Niagara and St. Bonaventure in mere minutes.
Guys, I really appreciate the time. Everybody stick with us. We'll have Niagara and the Bonnies right after the hour. Thanks, guys.
That's Todd.
Thanks,
Callen.
Todd. Happy holidays.
Todd, happy holidays. For Joe Kelly, for Todd Callen, for Evan DePasquale on the board, I'm Derek Kramer. Happy holidays to you all. You'll hear from me tomorrow for Bills pregame, but this is WGR.